This is Michelle.
And this is Andrea.
And we're Black Girls Vibe. Andrea, another week has gone by in these sports streets.
And so it has. And here we are again to talk about what's happened in this past week.
Indeed. What's today? Monday, March 18th?
Yes.
So just came out of conference play, championship play on the men and women's basketball side. So we're officially in March Madness.
We are, yeah. So the past week, like you said, it's been a lot of conference tournament actions, especially over the weekend. Any games of note that you caught that were of interest to you?
You know, I had a chance to catch a couple of games, particularly on Saturday. I watched, I think that was, when was that? Florida and Auburn played in the SEC semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Florida is alma mater, so I had a little allegiance going on there. We ended up losing by 3. It was a great game. I think the end score was 65-62. A little questionable ending to the game. We were bringing the ball up court on the last play. Got viciously fouled by not one, not two, but 3 Auburn players well behind the 3-point line. And it was a no call. So the game just ended with this mugging.
and so it did.
And so it did. And Auburn advanced to the finals and beat the mess out of Tennessee. Like, it just wasn't even respectful.
No.
It was something to behold. I mean, hats off to Coach Pearl and the Auburn team. I mean, they came and they went into the SEC and handled their business last week in Nashville. I mean, and dealing with the likes of teams like LSU and Tennessee and Kentucky, it's saying a lot that Auburn came out with the championship in hand. So tip of the cap to them.
I know. Not a team that you would have suspected would have come out of the SEC, but they played well, and there they are.
They did. They. You're absolutely right. They played well when they most needed to.
Yeah.
So, got to catch that game. I watched, as you know, because you prompted some of the exchanges between me and my dear friend Lamar Hodge, who's an avid Duke fan, and folks may or may not know, I'm an avid UNC fan. So we had a little friendly banter going back and forth on the interwebs on Friday night. Obviously, my squad went down, I think, by just 1 point.
Yeah, it was a close game.
To Duke. It was a good game.
It was. Very competitive. It was a good game.
Mm-hmm. Zion's a beast.
He is.
I have to give it to him.
That's the exact appropriate word for it. He is definitely that. And Duke is happy to have him back.
They are. They're very happy. But, you know, UNC didn't play shabbily themselves. And without giving too much of my bracket away, I guess I will go ahead and spoil it and say I think those two teams end up in the finals. I mean, that's like I'd like to see that rematch in the national championship.
No, so that would be the 4th time this season.
Yeah.
But, you know. Yeah. Well, they're both really good teams, great coaches, great programs. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up in the Final Four or even the championship. Let's talk about your other alma mater here.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so glad you mentioned that, Andrea, because if you hadn't, I was gonna. Yeah. So a little educational institution in New Haven, Connecticut, hosted the Ivy League championship last week and came out on top. So the Yale Bulldogs are headed to the big dance yet again.
Yes. Very exciting.
And I'm super excited about it. We played our nemesis Harvard.
Yes, Harvard. Yes.
Shout out to my friend Large now. but yeah, we played Harvard yesterday, and beat them. I think I heard something to the effect of Harvard and Yale shared the regular season title, but then, you know, we won the actual the conference matchup or whatever, the championship matchup. So yeah, we are in the big dance yet again. I think it was either the 15-16 or the 16-17 season where we were last there, to my recollection.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
And we play an SEC team, I guess on Thursday. I'm assuming on Thursday. We play LSU.
Oh.
We're the 14 seed going up against them, the 3 seed.
And that nice round one play. Yeah, because Selection Sunday then took place this past Sunday, which would have been yesterday. Mm-hmm. I see Duke is one in the East. Virginia is one in the South. UNC,
right,
like you said, is one in the Midwest. And then
yep,
Gonzaga is for top seed in the West. So
in the West. And Duke is number one, is top seed overall.
Yes.
I think was what
yep,
I heard. Yes.
Yep. So I do see your Yale-LSU matchup on the 21st.
Yes. Go Bulldogs.
One to watch.
You know it. You best.
One to watch.
Believe that. One to watch for sure. Who are you rocking with? Have you decided?
I haven't decided because I'm, you know, like everybody, you try and pick some upsets, but if all holds true and the best teams play how they typically play, then yeah, I mean, I could see a UNC Duke making it to definitely my final four. I'm still, you know, contemplating and marinating over the bracket. I'm not going to overthink it though, because that's when you go wrong. But yeah, I haven't figured out who my final two teams will be, but they'll definitely be in the final four.
In the final four. Okay. Now, you know, I've never asked you, we're such good friends. I've just assumed where your allegiance was. Between Duke and UNC. And at this point, I mean, I guess we're, you know, our friendship is solidified enough that, you know, it's not in jeopardy per se.
Oh.
If you don't answer this question correctly. But I am curious, do you prefer one team to another?
No pressure.
No pressure at all.
I have a tendency...
Man, the tendency.
I have a tendency to maybe cheer for the Tar Heels over the Blue Devils.
Okay.
There was a period in the early 90s with the Grant Hill. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I went through that phase, mm-hmm, but came to my senses once he graduated.
Okay.
And went back to my Tar Heels fandom. So
okay, all right.
Yes.
I felt a little Sammy Davis Jr. tap dancing there, but you ultimately brought the answer where it needed to be. So I'm glad to hear that. Well, you know, welcome home.
I'm happy that the friendship is still intact.
It is. It is. Despite the dancing.
Yes.
Despite the dancing.
Oh.
So yeah, I'm pretty excited about this bracket overall. I love, love, love. I love the first weekend of March Madness. Just all basketball Thursday through Sunday, as much as your heart desires, you can get it. I love it.
I know. It's like hard to be productive and do anything else because it does. It captures all of your attention. You're waiting to see what team is going to upset which, you know,
yep,
high ranking or high seeded team or whatever the favorite, who's going to be the next Cinderella. So yeah, it's great energy. And to see some of the teams that, you know, typically are overlooked, play well on this stage. So yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite weekends in the sports. It's yeah. Love March Madness.
Absolutely. And to all you listeners out there, we do have a bracket, Black Girls Vibe. And I am trying to pull up and guide you to how to find it. But the best way to find it at this point is to come join us on our Facebook page,
Absolutely.
Black Girls Vibe Tribe. We have it posted there. We're going to post it on our, we can also be found on Instagram, same title, Black Girls Vibe Tribe. So yeah, check us out and come join us in our tournament bracket.
Definitely.
There are no prizes other than bragging rights.
Sometimes that's all you need.
But sometimes it's all you need. Now, Andrew, speaking of bragging rights, didn't you, last year, did you win, like, as far as your office or a year or two ago, did you win?
I did.
Like, the bracket?
I did, yeah. It's the couple years that was like me and another coworker who were normally neck and neck, but I did manage to pull it out. So that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah. So you have experience like picking fairly decent brackets, I would say.
I don't. Do, and then the years that I don't win, my bracket has a lot of red. And so by the end of the first weekend, really by Saturday morning, I pretty much know where I stand.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, well, a lot to look forward to. Hope you guys get to enjoy some good basketball in the upcoming days. I know we both intend to. So on to something unbasketball related.
Yes.
Andrea?
Yes.
There was a big acquisition, if you will, of one of the most talented players in the NFL by a team that has historically, or at least recently, had a fairly high rate of utility in the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, so
but
who might that
they're
player,
on the come up now.
Yeah, who might that player be that you're speaking of?
One Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes. Quite surprising.
Joining his former teammate from LSU, Jarvis Landry, mm-hmm. and up-and-coming quarterback, Baker Mayfield. They got a few other nice pieces. There's a whole separate conversation we could have about Hunt being acquired by the Browns.
Yes.
And as I understand it, just today, the NFL has levied an 8-game suspension.
Yep, that's correct.
For that assault, so mm-hmm. he won't be playing the first half of the season effectively. But yeah, I mean, congratulations to the Browns. I mean, they're the clear winner. What do you make of the Giants? Where what did they gain from this in your view?
I'm not really certain. I don't know. I don't know. To have seen the shell of the Giants that played on the field last season or this past season, I'm not really sure. Like what direction they're headed in. I'm at a loss. I was shocked when I saw that trade come through because it's like it's Odell Beckham, one of the top receivers in the league, and he's not your if the Giants, well, not if the Giants have some issues, he is not.
Oh, wow. Understatement of the season,
right? He's not the issue. So what are your thoughts on where the Giants, I don't even know like where they're headed, what do you think their thought process was, where are they going with Eli?
Well, thank you for uttering, like, I mean, that's the pink elephant in the room, right? I mean, I just think a commitment to Eli at this point is a commitment to mediocrity. And I know the way that I said that sounded really harsh.
But it's true.
But you know, but you're talking to somebody who historically has always found Eli to be overrated.
Mm-hmm.
So his falling off to me is just kind of, he's been overrated yet incredibly lucky twice. and has always been that quarterback that thrived when he had good receivers. And in the absence of those, he doesn't do well. And now you have And, you know, and he's aging.
Right.
So you have, he's aging. You know, Victor Cruz left. Now OBJ is gone. What's he got? I mean, he's struggling anyway, and now there are no receivers. I just don't know. I don't know what GM, I think his name is Steve Gettleman. I just don't know what his end game is. It's just hard to imagine when they just re-signed Odell Beckham Jr. the beginning of this past season.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're having to pay out, like, they lost money on this deal.
Right. Right.
They lost money. And it's just hard to figure out what the end game is. But congrats to him again. Congrats to the Browns. There's a lot of, you know, noise being made around, you know, they could make the Super Bowl. Slow down.
I know. I'm like, well, wait.
Easy.
Like, easy. They're what, two seasons removed from not having won a game?
Yeah.
So yeah. They had a good season.
Do they make some noise in the AFC North?
Possibly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that they make some noise in the AFC North, in their, you know, in their division. And from there, I'm just not willing to give them, I'm not willing to put them in the Super Bowl just yet.
Right. They have talent. They have definitely acquired talent on the roster. But mm-hmm. we've both seen teams where you have talented players and that doesn't always lead to chemistry when you get ready to execute on the field. So mm-hmm. I'm with you. I'm a bit hesitant to put them, you know, crown them next season Super Bowl champions. But if they can, you know, they have the talent, if they can pull all that together and play well and be competitive, I can see them, yeah, making some noise in the AFC, and then who knows?
Who knows? But I'm just not convinced that they're going to make it all the way to the Super Bowl this first year. Now, give them a couple of years. That's very possible. But I just think, yeah, like you said, you get the talent together, and that's a good first step. But then there's chemistry, and and Baker Mayfield is still a work in progress.
Exactly. Like
he had a good season for a rookie. But we all know what happens to, you know, we see it with every kind of phenom quarterback rookie that comes in. Defenses are thrown by them in their first season, and then they get to study them. And usually, you know, they're not as productive the second season. I mean, I know that happened with Cam Newton.
Right.
Like, oh, like, okay, we have tape. We have studied you. So, you know, we'll see how this all comes together. But, yeah, and, you know, the Browns are one of those teams where, you know, they're kind of, I don't want to say they're like the Bills, but, you know, any chance they have to kind of up their profile and kind of get out of that rut that it's felt like they were in, where they were just a quarterback turnover machine and just back-to-back seasons of very few wins and lots of losses.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they definitely seem to be on an upward trend. And I just think this will add to that and maybe even expedite that some. But we'll see how far they go next season.
Exactly.
They still have teams like the Chiefs.
Right.
To get through.
Yeah, it's still a competitive division. Mm-hmm. So competitive conference, but they're on the right track.
I agree completely. Segueing to perhaps one of the biggest current events going on in the sports world, this college admission scandal.
Yes.
It's got a lot to unpack. You ready to try?
We will do our very best. Yes.
I'm slightly intimidated, but let's give it a try. So by now, I'm sure most of our listeners have heard about the wide sweeping federal investigation and charges that came down last week alleging a conspiracy involving kind of one point person, a man by the last name of Singer, who masterminded and coordinated an effort to defraud colleges into, well, that's not putting it accurately, conspired with test administrators for the ACT and the SAT to falsify test scores by having adults take exams for kids, falsify circumstances under which the students needed to take the exams, like exploiting the exceptions they have for allowing students with learning disabilities and special needs extra time to take the exam.
Mm-hmm.
So exploiting that on one side. And then another part of the conspiracy was his using his direct relationship with representatives of different sports teams and athletic departments from Stanford, Georgetown, Yale, University of Southern California, Wake Forest. I'm trying to rattle off some of the names I recall saying.
I think was UCLA in there.
UCLA, yep. And that's where the rub is, I think, as far as the topics that we cover on this podcast is the insult of using athletics as a means to get these students who wouldn't otherwise be eligible to go to these elite institutions to get them in. Like in some instances, these young people didn't even play the sports that they were purporting to play to get a bump on their application.
Right.
So what some people may not know is that at least when I was there, and I think it's still the case now, and I can only speak about Yale, like Yale doesn't offer athletic scholarships.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So, but being an athlete or a prospective student athlete kind of allows for some working with your GPA.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're an athlete, maybe more grace is given towards the GPA, but it's considered a positive as far as your application. But it doesn't it's not like you're going to get money from Yale to come play whatever sports you're going to come play.
Right. Okay.
So all these are like enhancements to an application, at least at Yale. I don't know how many other schools are operate in a similar fashion. But at Yale, it was the soccer team coach who voluntarily left Yale after having coached there for 23 years. Apparently, he was a coach there for some of the time I was there as an undergrad in the mid-90s. So the mastermind bribed, among other coaches, the former soccer coach at Yale to allow or to identify prospective students that he was, ostensibly recruiting that weren't even soccer players. This guy was falsifying pictures, superimposing the kids' faces on pictures of actual student athletes in action playing their sports.
Mm-hmm.
Just really egregious stuff. And an interesting part of all this is that all the sports involved in this scandal are non-revenue generating sports.
Right.
Right. So it's water polo, it's crew, it's rowing, it's soccer, it's volleyball, sailing.
Mm-hmm.
All those non-revenue generating sports are funded by the revenue generating sports.
Right.
Basketball or football.
Exactly.
Which are super exclusively, I would say, played by Black men.
Mm-hmm.
So in this really distorted way, and these sports that were targeted are all played by super overwhelmingly white student athletes. And so in addition to the whole question, the whole affirmative action implications for what this scandal has brought to the fore, there's also really the disturbing part of the sports that they lied about playing are sports that are only in existence. These programs are only in existence because Black student athletes who are not paid are making millions of millions of dollars for these institutions to fund these other sports programs that people are fraudulently trying to saying they participate in.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's a lot to wrap your mind around. It's frankly frustrating as a Black alum of an institution that's at the heart of this matter. You know, we encounter, and there's been a lot of discussion and banter between me and some of my classmates and schoolmates from Yale about this. Like, you know, we encounter so much in the way of being told while we're students, you know, by other students, by white students, oh, well, you're here because of affirmative action. Mm-hmm. Or I know in law school at Columbia, I had a classmate, a white classmate who went to Duke undergrad, and consistently I told me, and I'm assuming if he told me, he told others, like, yeah, Black students through affirmative action took my slot at Ivy League institutions. Like, I should have gone to either a Princeton or a Columbia or a Brown or whatever. And I didn't because a Black student took my slot. Now, mind you, dude went to Duke.
Oh, I'm so sorry for him.
He went to Duke undergrad and then came to Columbia. So he did all right for himself.
Yeah. I should be so unfortunate, I guess.
Yeah. But you know, there are people who are suing these schools involved in this college scandal kind of under the same premise. Like, I applied to your school, should have gotten in. I was more eligible than the people you allowed in fraudulently. Now, I think that, you know, as far as legal standards, there's a lot to have to prove there.
I know, because I don't know if it's gained class action status yet. But so that was, I thought about that too, because I'm like, how does one prove that someone then, you know, who was part of the scandal received admission and you did not because of that person? And then if that is then deemed to be true through the court or what, however that gets resolved, then what do you receive in return as someone who filed a lawsuit against the school? Are you admitted? Are you reimbursed your admission fees? What does that look like?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. There are all these different lawsuits that I've seen articles about with different like theories or different claims. To me, one of the more like plausible subset of claims are the ones that say, hey, we apply to your institutions and kind of in these quantifiable ways, we were more qualified than these people. We weren't let in. Repay us the application fee.
Okay.
That sounds reasonable to me. I know on the other end of the spectrum, I think it's a student of color who ended up at Stanford. Is suing maybe it's Yale. Suing Yale saying, by virtue of your not letting me in, you've diminished the caliber of the degree I'm getting.
Mm.
It's Stanford.
Wow.
Like, as a result of not getting into Yale, I had to suffer and go to Stanford.
Oh.
I don't know how plausible that kind of claim is, but this is kind of what happens when you have a scandal of this nature. I mean, this is what kind of can result from it, but this will all play itself out in the courts. It's fascinating, as an aside, the celebrities involved, you know, Felicity Huffman and William H. Macy is, I mean, you could almost call him an unindicted co-conspirator. Lori Loughlin, Aunt Becky from Full House, mm-hmm. Her husband,
is it
Massimo?
Yeah,
it's his designer name. I cannot recall his what his last name is. He's Italian. But yeah, like all these people who have the means and everything to send their kids wherever, but wanted their children to have experiences at very specific elite institutions and were willing to pay, in some instances, 10 and others hundreds of thousands of dollars to get it. Taking slots from taking slots from more qualified students.
Yeah.
Just.
Well, so like you said, that is one aspect of the many, many layers that you alluded to when we first started talking about this particular topic. It's so many layers to this scandal. And just the sports piece alone is, I don't know. We'll see how it all plays out, like you said. But it's disturbing on a lot of levels.
Yeah, it's just gross. Yeah. It's just gross. And, you know, I think for me, the most egregious aspects of it was like this exploiting of these exceptions carved out for students with learning disabilities.
Right.
Like at every turn, they leverage something that was not to have been used by them and was to be used by poor people or by people who actually had legitimate needs. Which just, you know, just it's just unconscionable to me. So I don't know what comeuppance looks like for something like this, but I do hope they get it.
Yeah.
Whether that's... it doesn't seem as though a monetary fine is really means much to these people because they clearly have the means to throw money at whatever they need to throw money for. So towards, so, you know, I guess at this point, sometime in the custody of, the Federal Bureau of Prisons for me feels like an appropriate way for them to spend their time and think about what they've done. But that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Whew. Well, I am kind of exhausted talking about all these criminalities and whatnot.
I know. So let's go to...
It really does touch home. Yeah. Close to home. Yeah, but let's go on to something else. So
and something more positive.
Something more positive. We got to end this on a positive note. Because that was a downer. So this week's Black girl magic moment, and she's really a grown Black woman.
Yes.
Magic moment goes to Coach Vivian Stringer of Rutgers University. I know that the women's tournament bracket came out just this evening, just a couple of hours ago. I have not had a chance to see where Rutgers is in the bracketology. But unfortunately, Coach Stringer, who's been on sick leave for around the last 4 to 6 weeks, I think, is not just announced today that she's not going to be able to return for March Madness and that the interim coach will continue in his role. Just so that folks appreciate the Black excellence that is one Vivian Stringer. Of the 8 other women's basketball coaches with 900 wins or more, none have coached into their 70s. And she just turned 71 on Saturday.
Yes, she did.
She has been coaching for 46 years.
That's amazing.
46. She's a breast cancer survivor.
Mm-hmm.
She's won 1,019 games and earned Final Four trips with 3 different programs.
Yeah.
So she's a pretty amazing woman. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, she is. And, you know, well-deserving to be put in our little podcast spotlight, as well as, you know, being cast broadly and spoken highly among women's basketball and just basketball in general. She's
basketball
an awesome
in general,
individual.
That's right.
I will say, going back to Rutgers is ranked seventh. In the bracket, they play Buffalo on the 22nd in the first round.
Okay. So we'll be on the lookout and keeping an eye on Rutgers hopefully they'll make some noise and do it for Coach Stringer. We wish her nothing but the best and improved health.
Mm-hmm.
Hope to see her back in the, on the court in the fall.
Absolutely. The sidelines aren't the same without her.
Listen, they aren't. They absolutely are not. So next week, Andrea, so we'll have our Sweet 16.
We will.
By next Monday.
Yeah, so we'll know if the brackets can be burned, deleted.
we're going to see how deep a run Yale makes.
Yes.
Yes, Andrew, don't you laugh at me. Don't chuckle. I felt a chuckle coming.
Listen, UAB made it to Sweet 16, so go Yale.
That's right. And UNC. So yeah, by next week, we'll be at our Sweet 16. So I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about and we'll have the upsets to cover.
Yeah.
I'd like to probably go ahead and mention, I think it's just, you know, we talked about the Lakers last week. It may be time to talk about the Warriors.
Let's do it.
So if we could put a pin in that, when does baseball start? Like, when's the first, do games start next week, perhaps?
I believe maybe? If it's not, the end of, it probably is towards the end of next week.
Okay.
Yeah, I think spring training, yep. Should be around the 28th, I believe. Mm-hmm. Is at least when, I'm slightly biased. Is at least when the Braves have their first game of the season against the Phillies.
That's right. Okay. So maybe we can do a little baseball preview as well.
Let's do it.
Get the season started right and get on top of things. And I'm sure there'll be more things other than what we've just mentioned to cover next week. In the meantime, guys, it's been great having you on this ride. Check us out on the social medias. We are on Instagram at Black Girls Vibe Tribe. We are also on Facebook under the same name. If you want to participate in our bracket, we'd love to have you there. The link can be found on, I know, the Facebook side of the house, and we're going to post it up on Instagram by the end of the day today. So within the next 10 minutes or so.
No.
Andrew, you got anything else before we sign off?
No, I think we're good. It's been great discussion. We'll see what transpires over this coming week, and we'll regroup again and talk some more sports next week.
Yes, ma'am. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.